Good morning. Good morning and welcome to our first chapel of this new semester. My name is Tamara Shantz, one of the campus pastors here, and I hope that every one of you had a restful and renewing holiday. And a very warm welcome to all of you who are new with us this semester. We hope that you will find a place and a home among us very quickly. After our service this morning, there will be a memorial service in this space at 11 o'clock, so we ask that we leave the room as quickly as we can after our service has ended. We come to this place of worship for many different reasons. If we're honest, some of us are here for the convocation credit. Some of us come barely awake. Some of us come preoccupied with what just happened in class, or maybe thinking about what the rest of the day will hold. Some of us come to this place hoping to meet God and maybe seeking to learn a little bit more about what it means to follow in the way of Jesus. For many of us, it's a blending and a blurring of all these reasons and many more. By whatever means you find yourself here this morning, I hope that you know that you are very welcome in this place. And I hope that together we can worship our Creator and catch glimpses of God's hope for every one of us. God's hope for our world, our community, and each of us as individuals. This morning, we are going to focus on the theme of the Holy Spirit. Like so many religious terms, we can tend to throw words around, and we often refer to the Spirit or the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. But we don't as often take time to reflect upon what it means and maybe what the Bible and what our tradition teaches us about the Holy Spirit and why does it matter to our life of faith. So this morning, Bob Yoder is going to speak with us on the topic of the promise of the Holy Spirit. As we enter into worship this morning, I invite you to join me in prayer. God of new beginnings, you are continually creating, calling us to new life and renewal, and continually reminding us of your love. Open us to your Spirit at work in and among us, both this morning and in the rest of our semester. Guide us in the path of truth, love, and joy. Help us to follow where you lead. Amen.
Please take your green Sing the Journey books and open to number 16, number 1-6. And in keeping with our theme of the Spirit, this song sings about the Trinity. Rachel and Bev will play us an intro.
Thank you.
reading from a collection of passages from the books of Genesis, John, Acts, and Galatians.
The Spirit of God swept over the face of the waters.
Then God said, "Let there be light."
When the Spirit of truth comes, she will guide you into all truth.
The Spirit won't speak on her own initiative. Rather, she'll speak only what she hears, and she'll announce to you things that are yet to come.
The world cannot accept the Spirit of truth, since the world neither sees her nor recognizes her.
But you can recognize the Spirit, because she remains with you and will be within you.
And then all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
Peter had not finished speaking when the Holy Spirit descended upon all who were listening to the message.
The Jewish believers who had come with Peter were surprised that the gift of the Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, whom they could hear speaking in tongues and glorifying God.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patient endurance, gentleness, and self-control.
Against these sort of things, there is no law.
Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified their ego with its passions and desires.
So, since we live by the Spirit, let us follow her lead.
The word of the Lord.
Blue Hymn of the Worship Books, number 29. Please stand for this song, number 29. Rachel and Bev will play it through one time. And we invite you to sing unison on this song.
I too want to welcome or add my welcome to you all returning back, new students, particularly people coming back from SST. Welcome back. When you consider the words of the Holy Spirit, what image comes to your mind? Do you have a grasp of who the Holy Spirit is, its function, its role? For me, growing up in a very small, rural, conservative Mennonite faith community in the hills of southwestern Pennsylvania, we didn't hear lots about the Holy Spirit. I knew it was part of the Trinity, except where I came from, it was called the Holy Ghost. And so as a kid growing up, images of ghosts weren't all that exciting for me. And so the thought that there was a Holy Ghost that was part of the Godhead Trinity thing was a little weird to me. But in a nutshell, for me growing up, as I look back, the image that comes to my mind of the Holy Spirit is like having a third leg. What are you going to do with it? or it's kind of like being the third person along on an outing that otherwise would be a date between two people. Kind of awkward. Now, if we look back in Christian time, and even now in churches, the images that come to mind of the Holy Spirit, the dove is one of them that is there a lot. Comes in different forms, different expressions of the dove as the Holy Spirit. And the dove comes from Scripture. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, it says, and the clouds were torn open, and the skies were torn open, and the Spirit descending like a dove onto Jesus. Another image is that of fire, that of flame. At Pentecost in Acts is when the Holy Spirit descended down, kind of like tongues of fire that landed on people. It was the image that is conjured up there. And then we have the images put together, dove and flame, dove and fire together, exemplifying the Holy Spirit, giving us images and thoughts as to the nature and the work and the function of the Holy Spirit. And as Tamara said, the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, part of God the Father, Creator, the Son, Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit. And that, too, has been depicted in different ways in Christian art and time. These are concepts of Trinity, where you can see two bodies, two human beings, and a third being the dove. But other times, other people have portrayed them a bit differently as well. To my left, it's a little hard to see, but there are three bearded male figures, all representing the Trinity. On the right, however, in the center is the Holy Spirit represented as a woman. And one of the reasons this happens is that in the original Greek and Hebrew, the word for spirit is actually a feminine word. It's a feminine noun. And so that's one of the reasons why the church has represented the spirit in different ways. And some people were pretty enamored with the spirit, and they want to place it on their bodies in such a way, or at least representations. And so here we see a dove inked onto the back of an individual. And sometimes the Spirit can be very surprising. The Spirit may even leap up and tackle you in ways unexpected. Though I have continued to grow as a teenager and young adult with little depth of understanding of the Holy Spirit, there are three faith streams that have been very impactful for me over time. The first is the Pentecostal faith stream, or even the charismatic faith stream. Growing up, I heard stories of how people were slain in the Spirit and experienced holy laughter at the Assembly of God Church just down the road from ours. I learned to appreciate their focus on opening themselves to the Spirit in ways that make you go, wow. Of course, there can be pitfalls to some wows, but their recognition that God's Spirit cannot be boxed in was very impactful for me and continues to be so today. The impact of this stream has also challenged me to pay attention to my own spiritual giftings that embody me so that I can attend to them and more fully live into who God is perhaps calling me to be, to live into my vocation. And by the way, did you know that Pentecostalism is the second largest Christian faith group in the world with over 600 million members, second behind the Roman Catholic Church? Not bad for a faith group that really started about 100 years ago. The second stream is that of the Orthodox Church, more of the Eastern Orthodox Church. It seems that for much of Western Christian Church, European-descended Christianity, we have highlighted Jesus a lot. That's a good thing. But we may not have done as much with the Spirit in ways that we kind of elevate Jesus over the Spirit. This is not the case in the Orthodox Church, where the work of the Spirit has been given equal consideration to the work of Jesus. And so their understanding of church and church life takes on two important functions given the nature of the mutual work of the Spirit and of Jesus. The work of Jesus brings about the unity of the body of Christ. But the work of the Spirit brings about the fullness of the Spirit because of the diversity that exists within the church. And so unity and diversity held together mutually in a wonderful way. I still have much to learn from the Orthodox tradition, but I've appreciated their ancient focus of the role of the Spirit in their faith community and in their understanding of salvation. Their understanding of salvation is more of a gradual growing into the image of God with the help of the Spirit. Perhaps a reason that we emphasize Jesus so much in the West is that our understanding of salvation often comes from kind of a personal guilt because of sin that I committed, and so we need to be rescued out of that. And so Jesus, as the sacrificial redeemer, paves the way for our salvation. The third faith stream that has been important for me is the contemplative one. As a busy North American, I am challenged to slow down. I'm challenged to listen. What's going on around me? What's going on inside of me? What is giving me life these days? What is draining my soul? Which way is God leading? This tradition has called me to a life of prayer and communion with God. And it's the Spirit that is the ultimate discerning presence guiding my journey. These have been three faith streams that have been important for me, but another obvious place that has been important for me are the Scriptures. And so I'd like to just highlight just a couple of Scriptures. I can't go through all of them in the Bible. John 14 and 16. This is the place where Jesus is at the end of his earthly ministry, and he's letting his disciples know, hey, there's somebody coming after me who's going to be a great helper, an advocate, a comforter. Rest assured, this Spirit will be with you. It will remind you of what I have said. It will guide you in your ways. So it's in these chapters we find the promise of the Spirit through Jesus' lens and understanding. But the picture that is portrayed in these two chapters is also one of intimacy. Jesus goes on to say very explicit, the Spirit that abides in you will do so if you abide in Jesus. And the Father, the Creator, abides in Jesus and all of that. It's one of intimacy. And so the challenge for me is, will I set aside time and energies to nurture those relationships in ways that bring about intimacy, that bring about ways of the Spirit filling into my life? A second scripture is basically the book of Acts. In the beginning, in chapter 2, we see Pentecost, where the tongues of fire came down and did some pretty amazing, wowing things there. But throughout the book of Acts, those early Christian leaders who were part of God's movement were described as being filled with the Holy Spirit, or filled with the Spirit. And so throughout the book's 20-plus chapters, people who were filled with the Spirit were doing what God was doing in this world. And it was in these books as well, or in these chapters, these people were also described as doing many signs and wonders. They were healing people. They were casting out demons. They were doing a lot of things that would make a person go, wow, that astonished the people there of the time. A third passage would be 1 Corinthians 12. In this passage, we find that the spiritual gifts are manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. These gifts are not given for selfish gain, but are a way that God works in this world. This passage also indicates that though we are one faith body, this body is comprised of many parts and many members. Yet, it is the same Spirit moving in all of those parts and members. It's the same Spirit that has guided the Pentecostal, the Orthodox, the contemplative faith streams, and it's the same Spirit that reaches out to me, a 36-year-old Mennonite guy. I'm challenged to yield a posture that seeks to appreciate other faith streams different than my own. It calls me to humility by accepting that the Spirit works beyond the limited understandings of my own faith tradition. Finally, we might ask ourselves, well, how do we know if the Spirit of God is truly at work in whatever situation? And for that, I often refer to and go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5 was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a church that was in turmoil. The aroma that the church was giving off was not a good one. And so Paul talks about it to them in terms of works of the flesh versus fruit of the Spirit. Since many of us in the United States are impacted greatly by individualism that has its grip on the United States, we might tend to look at these works or these fruits as something that I personally need to accomplish, I need to achieve, or I need to let go of. But in this letter, even though that is true, it's also very true that in this letter, this is about the aroma of the community. What kind of aroma is the community giving off? Are they giving off the fruits of the Spirit? Are they giving off the works of the flesh? The stench smelling or the sweet smelling? What is the aroma that the community is giving off? Keeping these two lists in mind, help me to consider and to discern the Spirit of God at work in my own life, in the life of my community. It's a place of conversation with people. Our campus ministry's theme this year is sensing God's hope, claiming God's hope. In order to fully live into this theme, I believe the Spirit of God, as the driving force, must be at work in us. And to conclude, I leave you with a few challenges as you live into a new semester. Will we prioritize our time and energy in ways that lead to greater intimacy with God through the Spirit? Will we humble ourselves in ways that acknowledge we dare not attempt to domesticate the Spirit of God, but be open to the wow factor? And will we slow down enough to listen to the cries of the world around us and ponder the ways in which the Spirit is moving? And will we join in that movement or not?
Please stand and take your blue hymnals, number 418, Move in Our Midst, and remain standing for Tamara's benediction. Oh, yeah. We will be singing verses 1 and verse 4.
May the Spirit of God, who makes all things new, dwell among us and give us life. Amen. Go in peace.